Let's turn together in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, in many ways, this forms as the capstone of our series as we looked at the characters of Christmas. I was speaking to one of the members of my family. We talked about the different characters of Christmas. We looked at the angels and the shepherds, wise men, Mary and Joseph, and the question was asked, why wasn't there a sermon specifically on Jesus Christ? And my response was, I thought every sermon was about Jesus Christ, but we are going to have this particular sermon is going to be on the character of Jesus Christ here in Matthew chapter 11, and in our pew Bibles, that's found on page 970, Matthew 11, starting at verse 25. Matthew 11 and 25. Our text is at verse 28 there, but we'll start a reading at verse 25. Matthew 11, 25, page 970. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And here begins our text. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke, for my yoke it is easy, and my burden is light. And that's as far as we're reading in God's Word. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we consider this passage here from Matthew 11 together. We pray for the blessing of God upon the preaching of this Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if I were to ask you to describe who Jesus Christ is and what he is like, what would you say? I imagine that most people would use some specific title to define what Jesus is like. We would possibly speak of some of the Old Testament prophecies, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. You might also choose to use different ways of Jesus describing himself with some of the images that he uses, such as the Good Shepherd, a Great Physician, the Door, the Gate, the Resurrection, and the Life. But today, we are going to consider what is perhaps one of the more overlooked ways in which Jesus actually describes himself. And what is unique about this particular passage here in Matthew 11 is Jesus opens his heart. He reveals his heart to us. He says, this is what I am like. This is what my character is like. This is who I am and how I have revealed myself to you. So before we return to our series through Elijah and Elisha, we conclude our series on the characters of Christmas by looking at Jesus Christ and specifically how he reveals his character, how he reveals his heart to us. Once again, I was struck this past week by how harsh, crude, and rude our world is. As people continue to protest in ever-increasing hateful speech, violence continues to be seen every single day. A common decency, restraint, and humility are in short supply. Gentleness is seen as a handicap. More often than not, you are told that if you want something, you have to defend yourself. You have to stand up for yourself. You have to demand your own ways. Unfortunately, what happens is that the mentality, the thinking of the world, begins to seep into the church. It's not hard. It's not hard to see this even in our own church, in our own hearts, in our own lives, this judgmental attitude. But part of this calling that we receive as God's people, the calling to sanctification, is a calling to grow in holiness and to be sanctified, to grow in the image of Jesus Christ. Now, to be clear, our growing in the image of Christ is not purchasing our salvation, surely not, but we are called, and those who are grafted to Christ grow in Christ and begin to produce fruit. And one of the fruit that we are called to produce is the fruit of gentleness. And there is no one so kind, so loving, so gentle as Jesus Christ. So this evening we consider this theme: Jesus Christ reveals his gentle heart to comfort the weary. In our first point, then, we consider the gentleness of Jesus Christ, the gentleness of his heart. As Jesus here says in verse 29, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." In speaking to his heart here, Jesus is not speaking about the physical organ in your chest that pumps blood. He is not speaking in his heart in abstract or absence of his mind. That's sometimes we talk about the heart that way today. If I talk about my heart and my head as coming into conflict, what I feel against what I think, that is not what Jesus is speaking of. And speaking of his heart, Jesus is revealing the center of his person. The heart describes his affections, his desires, his direction. The heart defines you. It's from the heart that a person moves. It's from a heart that a person speaks. It's from the heart that a person loves. And we note here that in speaking of his heart, Jesus is in no way downplaying or diminishing his official status, his different titles that are attributed to him. He's not undermining the other aspects of his character. But in speaking to those who are weary and heavy laden, Jesus reveals a heart that is gentle. The word here in the Greek is praos, and it's actually only found three times in the New Testament. Gentle in this way is to be meek, mild, and humble. The gentleness of Jesus Christ is like the shepherd who looks, searches, and finds that lost little lamb and puts that lamb on his shoulders, going home rejoicing. The same word for gentleness is found in Matthew 5, verse 5. That is where the gentle or the meek will inherit the earth. That's the second time. And the third time we find this word is used to describe Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday as he's entering Jerusalem in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, where the Israelites are told, "Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle," or meek, mild, lowly, walking and riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. So he is gentle, but he is also, as verse 29 says, lowly. There is a lot of overlap between gentle and lowly, but lowliness speaks to his relationship to others. Being lowly means that he is of low estate, that he is humble, that he is despised by others. He's cast down, trodden upon, cast out. He is pushed down, suppressed, and socially despised. Jesus identifies himself as an outcast of society. So when you put gentle and lowly together, you are finding both his compassion and his accessibility. He is not so elevated and lofty that he cannot be approached. And the good news is, spoken to in the context of those who are weary and heavy laden and beaten and bruised and afflicted, Jesus says, "You want to know my heart? You want to know what kind of man I am, what kind of person I am? I am gentle and lowly. A bruised reed I will not break. A smoldering wick I will not extinguish." A bruised reed, we have to think of the rushes that grow along the side of a river. A bruised reed is on the verge of being broken. A stiff breeze or a passing animal or a bird that would try to land on that bruised reed would snap that reed, would snap that staff in half. And a smoldering wick, that's when you blow out a candle and you see the end of that candle has that little bit of orange that remains there, that little wisp of smoke continuing forth. Quickly, it goes out. But that smoldering wick is not extinguished. That's the kind of Savior, that's the kind of mediator Jesus Christ is. His bent is towards those who are needy and afflicted. He welcomes those who are burdened, those who are bruised, those who are despised. His default position is to move towards those who are hurting, to welcome them and to embrace them with open arms. He's inclined towards pity and compassion. He is accessible and approachable. That describes his heart. Unlike the rich, the proud, the rude, the popular, the rulers of today, Jesus associates with the lowly. Jesus is not proud. He is not rude. He's not self-seeking. He's not elevating himself above others. He associates with them, with those who are low. He does not say in this verse, "I am unapproachable. My love is reserved for a few. You need to earn my grace. Only a few deserve to stand in my presence." He is not ashamed to call us brothers. That's the kind of person he is. To have a Savior who is the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, fully God, free from sin, and yet at the same time says, "My heart is gentle and lowly." That is surprising good news. And to illustrate the difference between the way that Jesus responds to people and the way that we tend to respond to people, consider this example. Let's consider for a moment that you're speaking with someone and this particular individual tells you that, "By the way, I'm sick." Can't pass this one up. It's so prevalent today. Let's say you're talking to someone and they say, "Oh, by the way, I have COVID." What is your human natural inclination? What is that to do? How do you respond? If someone is speaking to you face to face and they said, "By the way, I have COVID," instinctively you move back, you separate, you distance yourself. You don't want to catch what they have. But to illustrate the kind of person that Jesus is, if someone tells Jesus that they are sick, do you know what Jesus does? He goes towards them. He embraces them. If someone says, "I have leprosy," to Jesus, Jesus puts his hands on them. If there is a funeral procession in town, instead of saying, "You're unclean, there is a dead body there, let me distance myself from you," Jesus goes up to that casket and he puts his hand on it. His default position is to run towards those who are sick, towards those who are hurting, towards those who are weary. Jesus' heart is different. Where our default position is to remove ourselves in self-preservation. Now, I am not saying that you should embrace someone who has COVID. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to illustrate is how different Jesus is than you and I. As Scripture reveals, he is the compassionate, merciful high priest. His heart opens him up towards those who are hurting. Our intercessor, our advocate, our comforter in heaven. If you are broken or weary or heavy laden, if other people despise you, if you're an outcast in society, if you can't find your place when you're at school, if you think everybody is different, I'm different than everybody else, if you're at work and people have a suspicion of you because you're a Christian, if you feel trampled upon by society, then this is the kind of Savior that you need. This is the heart of the Savior. In fact, Jesus says the very thing in verse 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." It is an invite to everyone who is feeling the weight, the burden, the struggle. Are your sins wearing you down? Do you feel like you have this incredible weight on your shoulders? Are the pressures of the world, of your life, weighing heavy upon you? Then Jesus says, "Come to me. And to everyone who comes to me, I will never cast you out." That's what John 6 says. "I'll never turn you away. My yoke is easy," verse 30. "My burden is light." Now, not living in an agricultural society as much anymore, with animals particularly, A yoke would be the beam that would pair two animals together, and then you would tie that yoke to a farm implement. If you're pulling a cart or a wagon or a plow or whatever, that yoke would be what would bind the two animals together and would produce the pulling power to pull the implement. And it was important when you are yoking your animals is you had to yoke even animals together. You could not have a tall animal and a short animal or a strong animal and a weak animal, because whoever was the strongest, broadest shoulder would carry all the weight. And here we find that Jesus Christ is telling us that his yoke that is placed upon our shoulders, if we view ourselves as the yoke, is kind of like the union of faith. By faith, we are yoked to Jesus Christ. If by faith we are joined to Jesus Christ, his yoke is placed upon our shoulders. But since Jesus is the strongest, powerful, broadest shoulders in all of the world, the whole weight, the whole burden lays upon him, and we're that little calf that is simply along for the ride. We're not pulling anything. The weight is upon him. He carries our burdens. Therefore, his yoke is easy, and the burden is light. Instead of having a burden that is weighing us down and pressing us down, his burden actually lifts us up. The burden that Jesus Christ gives us is the burden of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. The burden that he gives us is the burden of peace and rest. That's the burden of Jesus Christ. It's not a weight that pushes you down, but a joy that lifts you up. As Philippians 2 says, he makes himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant, humbling himself even to death, death on the cross. Jonathan Edwards puts it this way: gentleness is a lamb-like or dove-like spirit. When Jesus embraced the little ones, put his hands upon them, and blessed them, that was the gentleness of Jesus breaking forth. And when everyone had gathered around the adulterous woman, ready to stone her, Jesus says, "Let him who has no sin cast the first stone." And as everybody else walks away, the woman looks to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Where are your accusers?" Well, Jesus, they've all left. How does Jesus respond? "Well, I'm the sinless one here. I'm going to throw the first stone." Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." That's the gentleness of Jesus put on display. But now that we know the gentleness of Jesus Christ and what his heart posture is like, that truth, understanding and seeing who Jesus Christ is clearly, it has an effect on us. It changes us. The gentle and lowly heart of Jesus is the heart of Jesus that draws us to him and changes us. Knowing that our gentle Savior is lowly and gentle in heart moves us to desire to be gentle as he is. Listen to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 says this: "Complete my joy by being of the same mind as Christ. Do nothing out of rivalry or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." Our own passage says this in verse 28. "Come to me," and then verse 29, "learn from me." Seeing the heart, as Jesus reveals his heart as gentle and lowly, there is a command to come to him and learn from him. To submit ourselves to him, yes, embrace him with hearts of faith, but then dedicate ourselves to reflect the characteristics of Jesus. What is the characteristic of Jesus? It is gentleness. It is humility. It is lowliness. It's helpful to remember that in Matthew 11, the context here, Jesus speaking particularly to the scribes and Pharisees, the context is legalism, pride, and unrepentance. Okay, legalism, pride, and unrepentance. That is the context in which Jesus is speaking. And perhaps the greatest hindrance to gentleness in our own hearts is legalism, pride, and unrepentance. Someone who thinks that they have all the answers, that they are better than everyone else. Someone who thinks that I am more exalted, I'm more worthy than everyone else, is going to have an awfully hard time displaying a gentle and lowly heart, which is the heart of Christ. Rather, a proud heart is one that is rough, one that is rude, that is prone to boast. But that is not the way of Christ's people. As we know from Galatians 5, our children, most of our children have memorized this already, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Gentleness is the fruit of the Spirit. A Spirit-filled Christian is one that is gentle. Or Peter puts it this way, when you are called to give a defense for the hope that is within you, how do you give a defense for the hope that is within you? With gentleness and respect. Or even as Paul pleads, this is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I entreat you. The meekness and gentleness of Christ is what calls us to follow. So it should be abundantly clear, those who have been saved, delivered from their sins by a gentle and lowly Savior, are called to reflect a gentleness, a lowliness, a humility in their own hearts. Now, what does gentleness look like? Well, gentleness for a Christian is when a Christian puts the needs of others before their own. That's what Philippians 2 says. Putting the cares and concerns of others as higher priority than my own. Unlike the unending riots and protests that we see all around us, a gentle person is willing to be wronged if that means a benefit for someone else. A gentle person sticks up for and defends someone who is weak, someone who is oppressed. The opposite of gentleness is what we find in almost every school, a bully. A bully is someone who taunts the kids at school, who uses their own physical ability, their strength or their height, to domineer and suppress others. But unfortunately, that bully-like spirit can be found not just in our grade schools. It can be found in our homes as well. Such as a domineering husband who belittles his wife and uses fear to manipulate and control others. They share the same spirit. But God's people are called to live with kindness, with patience, seeking to live at peace with all, which is the rule of gentleness. Now, gentleness does not mean that you are a pushover. It doesn't mean that you don't stand for anything. It doesn't mean that you have no recognition of what is right or wrong. Gentle people should rightly be very concerned with sin, absolutely. But the default position of a gentle person is someone who is slow to anger, quick to forgive, long suffering. A gentle person is someone who is slow to speak, quick to pardon. Now, this should be hitting close to home with all of us. If a gentle person is not easily angered, if a gentle person does not act out in tantrums when they don't get their way, if a gentle person does not allow fits of anger and outbursts of hurtful or harmful speech, then we need to recognize where gentleness is not present always, where we're not being consistent in our own hearts and lives. In fact, The first quality that tends to leave an individual when you are angry is the quality of gentleness. Anger and gentleness do not live well together. Tenderness and compassion are pushed out when anger and rage fills my own heart. And you've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. There is a lot of abuse that happens in our churches behind closed doors. Physical abuse, manipulation, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, where people use anger, either that hot-blooded, boiling over anger, or that Cold War, slow simmer kind of anger. They use anger to manipulate, to control, to dominate within their relationships. That is part of the old man. That is part of the old way that is put to death. Those who are not joined to Christ, those who have not tasted and received the beauty of a gentle and lowly heart, we expect those people to rule by the fear of man. But a person who has been joined to Christ by faith, who has the Holy Spirit producing the fruit of the Spirit within, knowing that gentleness is one of those fruits, this person is someone who is consistently growing in gentleness. God's word calls us to put to death the sins that remain and come alive in the image of Christ. Part of the image of Christ is gentleness and lowliness. So as God's people, we need to learn to muzzle our lips, to sanctify our speech, so that we no longer allow words of anger to fly out uncontrollably without check or without restraint, which is so prevalent in society. And it's so easy for us to learn from the world in this area. We can learn from society, from going online, looking at social media. We see things, we hear things that frankly should shock us at how people are waking up angry and living their days in hostility. Titus 3 puts it this way: hating and hating others. They're being hated themselves and they hate everyone else. That's what Titus 3 says. That's the kind of world we live in. But that is not the way that we are called to live. Now, the gentleness that Jesus Christ calls us to have, and the gentleness that the Spirit is producing within us, is a gentleness that will be evident in every area of life. Starts in the home. The way in which fathers and husbands speak to and treat their wives and children should be evident. It should be evident that there is a gentleness, a lowliness, a humility. Now, to be very clear, gentleness, humility, and lowliness are not juxtaposed to leadership. Jesus Christ is the perfect example. Jesus led by way of his humble, gentle, lowly service. So husbands and fathers in the home are to be leading by way of example, showing how true leadership puts the good of others before their own. Or mothers, dealing with a child who is going through a difficult period. It is incredibly difficult for mothers to retain a spirit of gentleness when correcting a temper tantrum throwing child. But gentleness is what we're called to do, called to have. The way we speak to others at church, in the workplace. Not harsh, not rude, not overbearing, not self-seeking or uncaring, but gentle. Gentleness, perhaps I can speak to the fathers here. Do you remember how you picked up your firstborn child for that first time? I mean, you had this squirming, wiggling bundle of joy in your hands, and you thought you were going to break it. You were gentle, compassionate, loving. Your heart was fixed, united to that child, and you carried that child in such a way that you would do anything to protect that child from harm. That is gentleness. Gentleness in the way that we fellow sinners speak to fellow sinners. Knowing what it's like to struggle against sin. Growing in gentleness, developing this fruit of the Spirit. This is something that happens over time as we spend time at the feet of our gentle and lowly Savior. The more we come to appreciate and marvel at the gentleness of Jesus Christ, the more we come to learn from him, the more we take on his yoke upon our shoulders, the more we pray and we ask the Spirit to produce that fruit of gentleness within us, we pray for this fruit, the more it will be evident. It's gentleness. It's not pride, anger, harshness, but gentleness that makes us look more like Christ. In fact, 1 Peter 3, verse 4 says that gentleness is beautiful and God-pleasing. It was spoken to women in 1 Peter 3, but we could apply it to everyone. God says, this is beautiful in my sight. Gentleness. A gentle and quiet spirit is precious in God's sight. And we had installation this morning. 1 Timothy 3. This is talking about the qualifications of an elder. Elders must not be violent or quarrelsome, but rather they must be gentle. Elders are called to be gentle in dealing with the sheep. As a loving shepherd, deals with the sheep, those in positions of authority. But we could extend that easily to us all. We are all called to grow in gentleness as we learn to reflect our Savior's heart. To conclude, gentleness is in short supply today. One of the ways that we can set ourselves apart, distinguish ourselves from the world, is in our gentleness. I know a lot of you guys are on social media. Let me ask you this. Young people, if someone is reading all the posts that you've had over the past year, all the times that you've commented on the various videos and pictures and memes, whatever, would they be able to find the character trait of gentleness? Some of our older members, perhaps you've been in a lively debate and discussion with someone with whom you disagree over a specific issue. Can the watching world see, can they find gentleness in your words? If someone were to visit you at your home, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, children, would that visitor be able to say that there is a spirit of gentleness in this home? The spirit that reflects the gentleness and lowliness of Christ. Within the church, the gentleness is one of the traits that reflects the heart of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 2 summarizes, "Be completely humble and gentleness." Ephesians 4, verse 2, "With all humility and gentleness, bear with one another in love. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling." So today we've seen that Jesus reveals his gentle heart to comfort the weary. There's a helpful little book. It's by Ortlund, and this is one of his quotes. "Only as we drink down the kindness of Jesus Christ's heart will we leave behind us the aroma of heaven." I put it this way. Only as we receive the gentleness of the Lamb can we display the gentleness as a fruit to others. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So may we in our hearts, through this next week and throughout the rest of our lives, may we reflect the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who says concerning his own heart, I am gentle and lowly. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the heart of Jesus Christ. And as we stand in awe of his gentleness, how he had such great compassion upon those who were sick, those who were afflicted, those who were weary, those who were suffering, those who were living in the land of shadow, how Christ's compassion and gentleness and lowliness caused him to move towards them and to embrace them and to heal them and to save them. May Christ work as our gentle, good shepherd. Remind us as his sheep to follow where he goes, to take on his yoke and his burden, to learn from him, and to be gentle in our relationship with others. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.